So, Lord Jesus, what's so amazing is you. And the whole point of salvation, church, God, is you. And it's like it all begins with you, and it's all about you. It's you. Therefore, our focus is your presence. And your focus is our presence. I don't know how to get over that. I don't know how it gets any better than that. It sure can't get deeper than that. And everything comes back to that. So we're asking that you would open our eyes, hearts, understanding as we read and as we listen today. We want to break all agreement, association, and attachment to every sin and every antichrist thought or impulse outside of you. We are willing to lay down what we think we know to get what you know. We need you desperately. We need you more than our next 100 breaths. You are more important than our very life. And Lord, we can't live without you. We can exist but not live without you, because you are life. You are not just a life. You are life personified. Life in a person. We're thankful for your plan, for your purpose for our life, for your drawing us, for your coming and humbling yourself to even become like us, and then to be raised in a sinful world, subject to all our stupidity and things coming against you. And you never quit loving us, you never give up on us, and you had a purpose and a plan, and we want to enter into that and live in that. If you don't open our eyes and hearts today, nothing will. Help us to break all agreement with pride and self-righteousness and what we think we know. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please turn to 1 John chapter 1. I hope we get to chapter 3. We're not going to chapter 2, but we're going to do chapter 1. It's where we're going to start. I want you to notice 1 John chapter 1. He starts off, he doesn't say Jesus, but this is all he's talking about, is Jesus. That Jesus, which was from the beginning, Jesus. Remember John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hanging out together. And the Word was God. Yes, we worship the Word here. His name is Jesus. I know some have had to leave because of that. And that's okay. But we worship the Word of God here. That Jesus, which was from the beginning, which Jesus, we have heard, which Jesus we have seen with our eyes, which Jesus we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. They're like, people, we don't even know how to put it in words how incredible God is. And we just got to spend 3.5 years with him every day. And it was like we were just befuddled in our minds. We didn't know. He was so precious and so incredible, and nobody spoke like him. Nobody acted like him. Nobody had the attitude that he did. Nobody had the values. And he was so simple and so humble and gentle. And we just want you to know him like we got to know him. We want to exalt him now. So almost every word coming out of us is Jesus. That's in verse 1. Did you notice that? Jesus, 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 Jesus. He is the word of life. For the life was manifested. The word manifested means to be clearly revealed. I'm manifesting my hand. I'm clearly revealing my hand. I'm not hiding it. I'm clearly revealing it. God says in Hebrews chapter 1, describing Jesus, talking about Jesus, it says, who is the express image of God. God revealed through flesh. And that's what God wants to do today, is be revealed in us. But for him to be revealed, there's some truths here that we need to get in chapter 1. If we don't own 1 John chapter 1, I don't know if I've told every single person, but I've told a lot of people that I've led the Lord. The very first verse you need to look at and memorize and own is John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And we're going to get to that. But if you have not memorized that verse, word perfect, today, then today I want you to memorize that. It is very important to own chapter 1. But verse 9, we need it every day, multiple times a day. If we don't own it, then we can't use it. You could have a tool, like I have a... router. But I don't own it. I mean, I own it, but I don't own it. I'm not really sure how to use it. I may have used it once or twice. But the way you can tell a professional is they make it look easy because they've done it 10,000 times. Well, I have not done a router. And you may have a tool. But if you don't own how to use that tool, if you don't know what, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use it, you can have head knowledge about Christianity. It doesn't do any good if you don't live Christianity. Verse 1, Jesus. Jesus. We got to experience him and know him. And oh, we want you to know him and experience him. Verse 2, for the life, Jesus, was manifested, clearly revealed, and we have seen it, Jesus. What is it? The life of God. And we bear witness. If we were called on trial, called to a courtroom about Jesus, we can bear witness. We can bear witness to the truth. And we show unto you that eternal life. Those words ought to be capitalized. That eternal life. Just like all those other words that are about Jesus. That, which, it. That eternal life. Those are all talking about Jesus. And when I write notes and it's about God, I always capitalize them. Like I'll say God's will, and I capitalize God and I capitalize will. Because it's God. And it's alive and is worthy of my respect. And I capitalize to draw attention because I want to know and have my focus on what's important. So he says, for the life, Jesus, was manifested, clearly revealed, and we have seen it, him, Jesus, and we bear witness and we show unto you, we're trying to help you, we show unto you that eternal life. God, the Creator, who became part of His creation to rescue His creation. And it's next week, I'm thinking we're going to talk in 1 John 3. We're going to read it today, I hope. But next week, because I can't even get there, God said you have to do this as a front porch, or a foundation to even get to chapter 3. But when we talk, I want to talk about Jesus. And we show unto you that eternal life, which Jesus was with the Father, and Jesus was manifested unto us. I'm not presenting my denomination. I'm not presenting a church. I'm not presenting myself as pastor. I'm presenting Jesus. I want to share this treasure that I have, this treasure that God entrusted me with, this treasure that came unto me. I want to share him with you. Verse 3. He gives us the purpose in verses 3 and 4, the purpose of this book. Every book has a purpose. When I was in Bible college, they told us to take a book, or maybe it was after Bible college. Anyway, somewhere along the line, I learned this. You take a book of the Bible, and you're going to read and own that book, like we did Colossians. And we broke it down. We read it. You read it through 10 times, like Colossians has 4 chapters. We read all 4 chapters, 10 times, that's 40 chapters. So we read that. Then we start breaking it down. Who was the author? Why was it written? Who was it written to? Because all those things make a difference. The book of Matthew was written to the Jews. That's why the theme of the book is the King of the Jews. John, the theme of the book, is the Son of God. Luke and Mark, it's like he is the Son of Man. And there's a reason that there's a theme there, and when you read it, you got to understand that's what God's trying to teach us there and help us to understand that Jesus is the Son of Man. But over in John, he's the Son of God because he is God and he is man. He is God and he is man. And he's wanting us to understand that he is the God-man to bring us together. He's the one because we were separated. He's the bridge. Remember? I am the way. You know? Like the sign. One way. So look at verse 3. The purpose of this book. That which we have seen and heard, Jesus, declare we him unto you, that, why? What's the purpose? That you also may have fellowship with us. Christians that are not in this room are related to me because of the blood of Jesus. But I don't have fellowship with them until we spend time together. Do you understand the difference? You can have a relation and you're related to them, but you don't have fellowship with them because you don't spend time with them. How many of you have had relations like aunts and uncles and you were a little kid? I can still remember them. They show up, you might meet them once or twice in your life, and they show up, "Oh, I'm your aunt Gertrude from Bohokin," and they got their all this big old red stuff painted all over, and they go, "I'm gonna kiss you." I'm like, "Ah!" I remember being a little kid. They scared me. I didn't know them. Get off of me! Why are you gonna eat me? I don't want it. I don't know you. You might be my relation. That doesn't mean that they give you some right to come hug my little body, because I'm helpless and you got a hold of me and my parents are telling me you got to let them hug you and hug them and tell them you love them. Okay? They scared me. They may be a relation, but I had no fellowship with them. He says, these things write we unto you and declare this stuff, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I think ever since you've met Sue and I, you have found that our overall goal is to help you to have fellowship with God, to walk. We try to share with you the light that God has given us, the light that we're walking in, and say, come on, here's the light. Here, come on. Now, when you're a leader, everybody follows at a distance. And when you're trying to reach people with this treasure, now if you pulled out, you know, I will put it back in here in a minute. But if you pull out a bunch of money and say, I've got this treasure, would you like some treasure? That's what they do. They want to, see, I've done it. I've done it in this church a number of times where I just take money and I start giving it to everybody or giving it to one person. They never turn it, no, I don't want that treasure. No, 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 I don't want it. But we offer a treasure that is enduring, a treasure that you can't spend up. You can spend them all day and you can't spend them up. He never runs out. People can't steal him from you. You can allow him to be stolen, but they can't steal him from you. I'm giving you a thought right here. Please write it down. Please memorize it. Okay? You are one thought at any time of any day. You are one thought away from victory. It's not just a happy thought, though. There is a happy thought, but there is a thought. Jesus said it this way, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lies bind you up. You get in depression. You get in anger. They divide you from each other or from us. Lies. What is the truth? We need to learn to ask that question. What is the truth here, God? Why am I feeling divided from my mate? Why am I feeling these bad feelings toward Brother Harvey? Have I not told you? I am a sinner. If you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'll let you down. Does this come as a surprise? If it does, you weren't listening. Because I've said it a number of times. Do you understand? It's yesterday, I'm talking to a brother. And what I was saying, a lot of what I was saying was true. But after talking to the brother, Sue said a little statement. Have you noticed how God gives us mates and they say these things and they just zing and get you? And you're just like, and you want to say something, but you can't because they're right. But why did it have to come through that source? You know, why did they have to say it? Okay. Because it's truth. And we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, so God moves on somebody to say it to us, to bring it to our attention. Bing! Okay. And she, I don't remember what she said exactly, but it was like, what God said to me, through what she said was what hit me like a ton of bricks was two things. I was in agreement with pride and self-righteousness. I was trying to help somebody. A lot of what I was saying was true. But not all of what I was saying was true. It wasn't like I was lying. It was like self was in there. Now, what we're going to learn here in 1 John is what he says in verse 3 and 4. Okay? Jesus, we've seen and heard, and now we declare him unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, this is the whole purpose for this book. But let's look at chapter 1 and start with verse 5. Now, what's he talking about here? The two things he's saying. Actually, it's only one. That our fellowship may be with God. Do you want your fellowship to be with God? Do you want to hang out with God? Don't get excited now. You're only going to live forever. Okay? I just want to know. Is that what you want? Do you want to have fellowship with God? More. More than you do right now. Okay. Now watch. He says, and what I'm going to share with you is going to make your joy full. Now look at verse 5. He said, let's make this clear. This then is the message. I don't know how it gets any simpler. Somebody says, I can't understand the Bible. How do you not understand this? He's talking to us like we're little kids. He even starts the next chapter off saying, my little children. I mean, like, somebody get a clue. Okay. All right. Verse 5. This then is the message. Why am I giving you this message? For you to have fellowship with God. And to have a joy-filled fellowship with God. This then is the message which we have heard of Jesus. Jesus taught us this, is what he's saying. And now we're going to declare unto you the same light he gave us. Because when he spoke, it was like light coming into us, is it not? Now he says, here it is. Here's what Jesus taught us. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. We ought to memorize that part of the verse. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So watch. Here we go. I'm making a plan for my day. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. So I wake up. Good morning, Jesus. It's not my life. It's yours. You paid for it. What would you like to do today? And he'll say, let's go. For me, he says, let's go do tubs. I'm like, okay. Do I want to do tubs? I don't want to do tubs. But that's what he wants me to do. So if that's what he wants to do, I want to give him whatever he wants because I want to hang out with him. It doesn't work to try to get God to come bless what you're doing. That doesn't work. It may work some, but it's not full. It's not joyful. You understand? Why doesn't it work? I've tried God. It didn't work. He's not a Coke. You don't try him. God's way works. Three words. God's way works. Every time. If it ain't working, we're the ones who's broken, not him. We say, it doesn't work. And God's like, oh. And he goes into depression. I thought it worked. It's worked for hundreds of millions of others. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Let me repent. Let me figure out what I did wrong. I'm sorry? Okay. So God's way works, right? It's real simple. Okay. God is light And in him is no darkness at all. Now watch. So we're going to have a day and we say, God, what do you want? He says, let's go do tubs. I say, okay. So then I start walking. So what's first, Lord? Why don't you go take a shower and get ready? Okay. So I go do that. He says, now go take your pills. Okay. Now go sit in the living room and let me talk to you a little bit, and you talk to me a little bit. Okay. Now eat the food that Sue gives you faithfully every morning. Okay. What's next? Well, it's around 8 o'clock. You need to start answering the phone. Oh, okay. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you my day. Okay. Remember, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He says, let's go answer the phone. And I'm like, no, I just want to stay here and read the Bible. If God just told me to go answer the phone, that means God's going to answer the phone and he's in there and now I'm staying here without him. He didn't leave me. I left him because he was walking and I didn't follow. He's the light. Now I'm in darkness. Is anybody getting this? You see how simple it is? Okay. Okay. So you ready? Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, I'm right here trying to have fellowship with you, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What sets us free? The truth. What keeps us in bondage or binds us up? Lies. All right, same two words in this verse, real simple, close together, making it clear. Light is truth, darkness is lies. We got that, right? Okay, and God is? That's right, but God is?
Light.
So when we fellowship with God, guess what we're in? Light, and we're full, and we're free. Sue loves the light. When there's clouds and stuff, like Michigan has a lot of our weather. When the sun comes out, my wife, the sun's out! I'm like, yeah, he's always out, you know? No, it's bright outside. See, she loves that light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, God is light. He said, let's go answer the phone. Let's go answer all those voicemails and texts that people have been sending you all weekend. And I'm like, no, I'm sitting here in my chair. I'm trying to have fellowship with you here. And he says, but I'm over here. So in other words, the light is moving, and when the light leaves, we're left in darkness. Do you like the darkness? Do you want to live in darkness? Do we want to visit the light or live in the light? So how do we live in the light? We walk in fellowship with God. That is because he is Lord, Master, Boss, he's got the steering wheel of our lives and says, let's go answer the phone. Let's go do the dishes. Let's go sweep. Let's go mow a yard. Let's go whatever. Let's unpack and start putting stuff away. Oh, it doesn't work when we don't follow. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness because we don't follow the light, then we lie. We're believing a lie. So here you are. God, God, I'm in my bedroom or wherever, and I just want you to come. I want to fellowship with you. And he doesn't show up. God, I'm here for you. I'm all laid down. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, it's time for you to be cleaning the house. It's time for you to be doing your job. He said, you're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. He said, I want to live through a body. He said, that's not my plan. You're trying to get me. He said, you're acting like you're God. And you're telling me what I'm supposed to do. And God's like, you know, they told me I could be God today. And he said, I thought they meant it. So why don't you come follow me? By the way, I'm light. That way you can hang out in the light. We lie and do not the truth. We are lying to ourselves. We're telling ourselves something. I want to spend time with this person. But I know this person wants to do things I know God doesn't want me to do and go places God doesn't want me to go. But I love this person, so I'm going to go fellowship with them. If they are walking in darkness, then you're not hanging out in the light. You love the people in darkness because God loves them. God, I'm willing to let you love anybody you want through me. I just need you to help me see them through your eyes, the way you see them, not the way I see them when they irritate me or offend me. And I need you to give me your heart for them because my heart is way too selfish and shallow. But we say, oh, but I want to go hang out with them. I had a guy I led to the Lord. And right after he got saved, I want to go tell my friends. I said, that's great. God wants you to go tell your friends. But may I suggest you don't do it by yourself. Because they are full of darkness and there's more of them than you. And you think you're just now coming out of deep darkness. And you think you're going to go and just share this Jesus with them and not be affected. Because this is a spiritual battle. Well, he's a newborn. I mean, we hadn't even wiped him off yet. He's still wet. Okay, he's just birthed. I'm not kidding. I can still remember it. Even though it was 40 years ago, I can still remember it. And he's like, no, I got to go see him now. I said, may I suggest that you take me with you or the pastor? And you can say and do whatever, but we will be there to help strengthen you. Jesus sent him out by twos. And Ecclesiastes says, if one falls, your brother's there to pick you up. And if you go on your own, you think you can defeat the devil just because you just met Jesus, newborn, it's not even wiped off yet? He did not listen. I said, please, I pleaded with him. He would not listen. I said, you're going to get defeated. Please don't do this. But know that when you finally come to yourself, we'll be right here waiting to love you and help restore you. We didn't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. And he came back. When he left, he's all excited, going to tell everybody about Jesus. All his friends that lived in darkness and chose darkness and remained in darkness. And when he came back 2 or 3 weeks later, you know what he looked like? He looked like a dog with his tail between his legs and couldn't lift up his eyes and was so defeated and so discouraged and so depressed. You can't help everybody, and all of us are kind of, I think the Bible word is knuckleheaded, okay? And we don't listen so good. I have to find a verse on that one for you. Okay. The book of Glenn. I'm sorry. I resemble that. Okay. It might be the book of Harvey. So the point is, is if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we are lying to ourselves. We're believing a lie. I want you to remember this. The only power the devil has in your life is a suggestion. In other words, he can bring you a lie. He can bring you a temptation, a thought of temptation. He can bring an idea. Normally, a lot of times it's an accusation. Because in the Bible, one of his names is the accuser of the brethren. So when you find somebody being criticized, that's always the devil. Now there are people that do wrong. We had somebody that came to our church when we had the first building, and we called him the man in white. And we had another man when we had another building that every time I would speak, he would oppose me out loud, verbally. And both of them, we ended up having to ask to leave our church. But we didn't do it right away. We gave them about 4 or 5 minutes. No, we gave them both about 9 months dealing with them, trying to talk to them, having the leaders pray for them. We tried, but they would not come into agreement with Scripture. And they just kept trying to correct us or bring damnable teachings and beliefs and practices into our body. And as the shepherd, I had to take care of that wolf that was trying to hurt the sheep. Now, I didn't do it right away. I put it out there after a while to keep them at distance. I tried talking to them. We loved them. We tried. It just, nothing worked. And finally we said, you can't come around. But we didn't go around talking about them. And do you understand the difference? So the devil is not just God's enemy. He's your enemy. You know why? You are made in the image of God. So he's automatically your enemy. Number two, you're on God's team. So he's automatically your enemy. Number three, you can represent God to other people. So he doesn't like that. So he's automatically your enemy. And your values, because you're choosing God's values, are completely opposite of his. So he's your enemy. And he operates and lives in a whole different kingdom, the kingdom of pride and selfishness. And that's the opposite kingdom that opposes the kingdom of God. And so therefore, he's your enemy. Do you understand? You don't talk to him except to tell him to get behind you. I don't want anything to do with you or your ways or your thoughts, because we all are going to be plagued in our mind with thoughts of temptation and sin. Okay? All of us. Is everybody understanding this? I mean, do I need to break it down anymore? You got it. Now watch this. Let me tell you what else is your enemy that you don't realize a lot of times. So first of all, the thoughts. You tell the thought. See, it's not your thought. Do you want to be selfish? No. You know what wants to be selfish? Your flesh. And we're going to talk about that, because your flesh is your enemy. You are not your flesh. I cannot see John. I know you think you can see John, but to be honest, all you're seeing is a shell, a body that manifests on this plane, three-dimensional plane. You're seeing a body that John is the host. That body hosts John. Because when John leaves that body, That host is dead. The devil is a spirit, and he seeks a host to live in. And the only way he can live in a host is for that host, number one, to listen, number two, to entertain the thoughts that he brings to him, and number three, to choose that way. Did you notice it's all in the mind? Did you notice that? He can't twist your arm. He can't hurt you. He's not physical. Do you understand? Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are thinking on these thoughts. When a thought comes to you, ask God to help you. Help me to this changed my life big time. I've got a lot of red letter days in the calendar of my life, but this is one of the big ones. You ready? God said to me one day these words, Harvey, where did that thought originate? Where did that thought come from? And I thought about it. He said, does it sound like me? Does it look like me? Do I talk to people like that or treat people like that? No. Would I go there? No. Would I do that? No. He said, then where did the thought come from? Because thoughts come from one of three places, really. Okay? They come from God. God is good. Devil is evil. You notice how the letters are almost the same? I thought it's kind of amazing. But anyway, the thoughts also come from the devil. And then the thoughts come from the world. And then the thoughts come from our experience or whatever we've allowed inside of us. So watch. You ready? I watch a movie and they're raping a woman, or a woman is going to get raped or whatever. I've just allowed, by watching that, I've allowed that spirit of rape to enter into me. I may say, I would never rape a woman. But if I watch something and I don't take a stand against it, because you have to make, well, I just won't look at that scene. I'm sorry, it's already in your thoughts. So we're going to talk, as we get to the end of the chapter, about how to deal with those thoughts that we have let in us. But here's what I want you to see. One of your biggest enemies, your biggest enemy is the devil. Because he is against Christ. The word anti means against. He is against the lover of your soul. He's against the one who loves you when no one else does. He's against the one that's for you. He's against your Creator. He's against your Creator's purpose for your life. He's against joy in your life. He's against fellowship with God. He's your number one enemy. Your number two enemy is your flesh. By the way, you'll find these in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. You could look those up later, and we could talk, and there's other verses, but those are the ones I'm giving you right now. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. That's the next chapter, but we're not going there. Okay, so watch this. Your second major enemy is your flesh. Your flesh, that body you live in, that fleshly nature is antichrist. Your flesh wants what God says no to, or what's not good for you. Why is it we always want junk food instead of the good green food? Because it tastes better. It's sweet. It melts in your mouth. I want more. I want more. It's addictive. People don't get addicted to spinach, you know, or lima beans. I mean, we don't. I love those things. Okay? Some of you need to adjust. But I understand. But if you said okra or eggplant, okay, we go back to that word plethora. Okay? But seriously, our enemy, our second main enemy, is our flesh. I want you to read, not now, I want you to write it down. I want you to read, I think it's Romans chapter 7, and I believe it starts around verse, oh, maybe 13, but go back to 12 or 11, you'll see, to the end of the chapter, which is verse 25, I believe. Okay? And it talks about the war that we have in our life. Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, the guy that God moved on to write half of the New Testament books, 13 of the 27 books, that guy, Paul, before he was Paul, he was known as Saul. And Saul was a religious person with a doctorate. He knew a lot. And he had the gift of gab and could... He was a leader of leaders. And he thought... He knew that Bible, the Bible they had up till then, which was the Old Testament. Because he was alive during the time of Christ. And Saul was so zealous for what he thought was right that he killed people that he thought were a cult called Christians. That don't fit into my Bible. It's not what I was taught. It's not the way I understand it. I already know. So he killed Christians, thinking he was doing God's service. There are going to be people in our world during our lifetime that are going to kill, they already are, killing Christians. But there's going to be those that are killing Christians thinking they're doing God a favor. Thinking they're on the side of right, but they're killing true born again believers. And it's because they're not born again. They don't have the seed of Jesus living inside of them. Okay? Now, our flesh is our enemy. And when you read Romans chapter 7, you're going to find, here's what I did in my Bible. I took in my Bible, because the word I believe is in there 37 times, if I remember correctly. And so when it says, that which I would do, Saul, so I put an S next to it, that which I would do, Saul, I, Paul, didn't want to do it. So your flesh wants to do one thing, and your spirit, why am I pointing at my belly? John chapter 7, I believe it's 37 and 38, Jesus says the Holy Spirit lives in your belly. He says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living stones. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on Jesus should receive. So, are you living from your flesh, your heart, what I feel, what I want? See, everybody lives by either their feelings, their logic. They reason stuff out. A lot of men live by logic. They can't understand women because women are emotional. And women usually live by feelings, but a lot of us guys are real sensitive and live by feelings. That's me. Okay, I'm saying that's my natural tendency is to get real wired, real excited, real, you know, it's because that's emotional. When you live by emotions, Does anybody get what I'm saying? Without me saying it? Up and down, in and out, depressed, super excited, depressed, super excited, not consistent. Is that where anybody wants to live here? I just want to know. If so, I just want to deal on that for a while, if that's the case. Anybody want to live from their emotions? And then there's logic. It doesn't matter what God's saying. I'm going to figure it all out with my little brain. That means we think we're setting ourselves up as God and thinking we have a corner of truth and can understand truth better than anybody else. And we're not sensitive to truth. We're not teachable. We are unteachable. When somebody's unteachable, how can you help them? If you ever hear yourself or somebody else say, I already know, they're unteachable for that time, for that, whatever it is they're talking about. I already know. Or you're thinking, I already know that. I've heard myself say it to my wife tons of times. And probably a lot of you. Because the devil would come and say to me, you know so much, you've read that Bible 75 times, you've memorized thousands of verses. You don't know anybody else that's ever done that, except Jack Van Impe, who they call the Walking Bible. You know so much. And then I become unteachable, unapproachable, full of pride. And when that happens, I hurt people. Because everybody else I put down. Do you understand? Is that where I want to live? Not me. But it took a long time just for me to even see it. And then it took a long time. Well, once I saw it, I broke agreement with it. But it took a long time for me to admit it because I couldn't see it. Other people could tell me, that's just your opinion. I know everything. That can't be right. Because I don't know that. See? Are you okay? So our enemy is our flesh. So here we go. We're going to walk with God. We get up in the morning, we're going to walk with God. Or we're making plans to go do something. You know what we need to do? We need to have a little talk with Jesus. Okay? And how do we do that? We just sit down and say, Jesus, what do you want? Jesus, here's my plans. Here's what I'm thinking. Would you come guide me in what I should do and how I should do it, with who I should do it and where I should do it? Those are the questions. Who, what, when, where, and how? We need to learn to ask him questions. So if we stopped, okay, I'm going to go do this. God, like right now, we're in the midst of something and we're looking, you know, God, what do you want? So Sue and I are both praying about it. And we're both feeling led in a certain direction, but it's still hazy and not clear. You know, teach you another principle. When you read the Bible, people have said to me, I remember when I told Sue, Janiah was six, and I said, Sue, because I already had the other kids doing it, I said, Sue, I want Janiah to start reading a chapter in her Bible before she eats her breakfast, just like the other kids. That way you feed your spirit man before you feed your flesh man. That way your spirit man gets stronger than your flesh man. Okay? So you're able to do the things God wants you to do instead of saying, I just can't do it. That's because you're not feeding your flesh man. I mean, your spirit man. You're feeding your flesh man. You give your flesh man whatever it wants. So I said, Sue, I want Janiah to start reading the Bible every morning. She said, she's not going to understand everything she reads. She's only 6 years old. And I looked at Sue and said, do you understand everything you read? She goes, no. I said, she'll understand what God wants her to understand. She read the whole New Testament by the time she was 7 years old. She's memorizing scripture like you can't believe. At 6 years old. I'm talking about King James, not some watered down little kiddie version.
By the time she's in fourth grade, she had a 12th grade reading.
Yep. Sue said by the time she was in fourth grade when they test her in school, she was at a 12th grade reading level from reading the Bible every day. I've never heard of it with anybody else. So, brought Jesus in, Jesus came out. Wow. Joyful. It's almost like it makes sense. Okay, it's almost like it's a plan. And all it was Jesus, this unspeakable treasure of Jesus, God in us. And it's all His plan. Our third enemy is the world. And the world is not people. The world is a system. Do you understand? The world has a way of doing things. Well, we all voted on it. Yep. Well, how many of you are surrendered to what God wants? Huh? You don't even know what I'm talking about. How in the daylights could you be surrendered to it? How many of you are born again? Huh? That's why we don't vote in this church. We never have. Because the majority of people have not made that decision. And the main thing I said, besides being born again and have made a choice to surrender to God, the main thing when we had 18 people on our leadership team, I said the main qualification to be in there was that you were willing to give God what He wanted above what you wanted. So we never had arguments and fights in the leadership meetings because people were surrendered to that. And if they weren't surrendered to that, you can't be a part of the team. Because how could two walk together except they be agreed? It's simple. You don't get to be a member or a deacon because you have a lot of money or you own a lot of property or you got a big name. It has nothing to do with it. You've probably got more hurdles to get over to become a member. But it's as simple. I'd rather have a spirit-filled ignoramus than to have the smartest person who's not given to God. The wealthiest person. Yeah, but you won't make it without my money. I thought my Bible said that God would take care of me. I don't know how it's going to happen. That's why it's called the walk of faith. I trust Him when I can't see it. So we've got three enemies. Now I want you to remember something. God does not want us to be a part of the world, but He wants us to love the world, people, but not love their system, not do things the way they do it. What do you want to do, Jesus? How do you want to do it? When do you want to do it? With who do you want to do it? You get it? It's not, what do they want? Is anybody getting tired of this? Or you want me to stop and pick it up next week? If anybody does, I'll stop right here. Verse 7. Remember verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, walk in the lies that the devil has told us or that we've believed, then we lie. We've entered into agreement with a lie. And we do not the truth. See, if you believe a lie, you're not going to do the truth. Now watch verse 7. But if we walk in the light, just like He's in the light, We have fellowship one with another. What's the whole point of this book? To have closer fellowship with God. To hang out with God. And he says, we have fellowship with God. Now watch this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now wait a minute. I'm hanging out with God. Why do you throw in this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, your son, will cleanse me from all sin? He says, because even when you're hanging out with me, he said, I don't care how long you walk with me, you're never going to arrive. You're never going to be perfect. You're always going to be a sinner. Well, God, I think I'll get better for you. I'll try harder. Verse 8. He says, really? He says, verse 8. He says, if we say, or if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. He said, you will never get to a place where you can't say, I have no sin. He said, that is your goal. If you look at Matthew 5:48, God, Jesus in the Mount of Olives said, be ye therefore perfect or spiritually complete, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's your goal. My goal is to be like Jesus. But I need to realize that even when I'm hanging out with Jesus and I'm walking in the light, I'm still gonna, because I walk through a fallen world, and because I'm a redeemed creature being restored, I'm already a child of God. But everything about me is not redeemed. That's why I still get angry. That's why I still spout off. That's why I still run my mouth. That's why I still judge other people. Whatever it is, that's why I'm still selfish. Do you understand? So he says, if we say, if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. So our goal is to walk in the light. That means we got to hang out with him. What are you doing, Jesus? If you make plans without Jesus, you're not going to walk in the light. I don't care what your reason is. You've just deceived yourself. We can't make plans without Jesus. So when do we want to walk with God? Do we want to walk with him today? Do we want to walk with him right now? All right, so just a thought. So I'm sitting here. Preacher gets done talking. I don't need to ask Jesus how to go upstairs. I just go upstairs. You may or may not be walking in the light. Did he tell you to get up yet? Did he tell you who to walk with? Did you ask him? Did you include him? We need to learn to draw back into him more often. And it's not us trying harder. It's anything about God, it's real simple. God, I want that. And I don't want the way I've been doing it. Will you please incorporate that in my life? Will you please teach me? Will you remind me to depend on you? Would you remind me to include you? And so what he does, we're in the light, we're all happy. I don't know how to do this exactly. What's a way to do this, God? So we're in the light. We're all happy. But we get over here and outside of the light just a little. We haven't left him. We haven't really gone and sinned. Except that we didn't really include him. We just did what we already knew to do. I can get up. I can walk. I don't need Jesus to get me upstairs. Did you want to walk upstairs without him? See what I mean? Like, how much of him do you want? You see what I'm saying? That's why we call it practicing his presence. Now watch. So we get over here, and then something doesn't seem right. That's God inside of us saying, hey, you're leaving me. Hey, you didn't include me. Hey, you're doing this in the flesh. And if it's in the flesh, It's not full of life. It's not full of joy. It's not full of Jesus. So we have that little check in our spirit. We don't know what it is. We just kind of shrug it off, depending on how sensitive we are to God or how much we really want God. But the further we get away, the more something doesn't seem right. I don't have joy. I don't have peace. Nothing's going right. Everything just feels terrible. I don't like this day. Because we got away from the light. We didn't walk in the light. We didn't fellowship with the light. And we don't like the darkness. Need to stop, slow down. God, what is it? He said, you didn't include me. I'm going to stop here with this illustration. You may have heard me say it before because I've told it to a lot of people. I'm sure I've told it here. I did it right in front of you when we were out on 92nd Street, if you were with us. So one morning, we got up, Sue and I hang out with God. It's time for church. We teach people how to get in his presence. Now it's time for church. We say, here, God, it's your church. Why don't you come? I'm the leader, but I'm relinquishing all control. You come and you run the service. What would you like to do today? We just stood there for about 5 minutes. I remember it was about 5 minutes. And God says to her, I want to heal people with arthritis today. So she tells me, because she wouldn't hardly talk out loud back then, you know. And so I said, guess what? God said he wants to heal everybody with arthritis. I said, how many of you have arthritis? We had, I don't know, 75 people or whatever. 7 of them raised their hand. I said, come on up here. God's going to heal you. So I had them all line up in line. Why? Because I had seen other churches do that. Other ministers do that. Uh-oh. Ding, ding, ding. There's a clue. Okay, now, we can print God like a bulletin. We can make them like a pattern. This is what we do. When you read the New Testament, Jesus didn't do things in a pattern. So I said, okay, so Sue and I go up to the first person over here on the right. And we seek to minister healing, and they don't get healed. And I thought, well, sometimes they get healed in a little bit. I know they will because God said so. So we'll go to the next person. So you just stand there. God's going to heal you. With the next person, start praying, and we start having that check in our spirit. Something's not right. Sue and I look at each other. We said, something's not right. So we said, you stand still. So we left the people, the church people over there and all those church people there. And we came. We huddled up with God. So it was the 5 of us. I said, God, I don't understand. He said, I don't either. I said, why aren't they getting healed? He said, Harv, you didn't include me. But God, you said you wanted to. He said, yeah, but you didn't include me. I said, I'm so sorry. First I started crying because I broke my best friend's heart. I grieved him. I hurt him. He's my best friend. And I didn't have little tears coming, but I felt like they were going to come. You know, I felt like crying. And then I started asking him to forgive me. God, will you forgive me? And have you ever asked God to forgive you and you don't think you're being forgiven? But it's not that God's not forgiving you. It's that the devil is telling you, you need to sacrifice something. You know, you see, but Jesus is my sacrifice. So what is it I'm going to sacrifice that's equal to what Jesus did? Jesus said paid in full. He didn't say I'm making the down payment. Now, every time you do something wrong, you got to pay for it by crawling on your knees and scrubbing the floor and serve somebody. He said, I didn't call you to be a doormat, walk around on your knees. He said, it is finished, paid in full. Now watch. So I'm like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, what would you like to do? Because he says to me, Harvey, I've already forgiven you. Will you forgive yourself? Okay. Well, what would you like to do now? He said, I want to heal people with arthritis. I said, but I messed it up. He said, but I didn't change my mind. I said, okay, but I'm afraid, okay, we'll heal people, but, because I know he's got to do it, you know, but I mean, I'm available and willing, but I said, but I'm afraid to move because I don't know how to move. I don't know what to do. He said, ask me the questions. I said, what questions? Who, what, when, where, and how? I said, okay, what would you like to do? First question. He said, I want to heal people. I said, when would you like to do it? He said, now. I said, where would you like to do it? He said, here. I said, who? He said, the other one, the second one from that end. The second one from that end. Not this one that you started with, and we're going to move in a pattern. He said, go to the second one from that end. And I said, how? He said, as you go, then you'll know. That's a key of moving with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to know everything up front. If he tells you to go, start going, and he'll direct your path. Doesn't it say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path? I'm sorry, is it not like so simple? Okay, why did we make it so hard? So, Sue and I walk over to this second person, and I'm like, so how are you going to do it? And he said, I don't want you to touch them. I want you to hold your hand out toward them. Don't say any words. Just wait on me. Just be available. Okay, God, I'm here. I'm focused on you, but I'm willing to let you do whatever you want toward them. I know you want to heal them. Next thing I know, boom, they're healed. It's like God just in our spirit said they're healed. So we drew back and asked them, or and they said they felt something inside or whatever. And we're all like, praise the Lord. And I said, what do you want to do now, God? He said, I want to heal people with their arthritis heart. I said, when? He goes, now. I go, where? He goes, here. I said, who? He said, the second person from that end. So I said, how? He said, start walking. As you go, then you'll know. So, walk over there, and he said, this time I want you to lay hands on him. Every single person got healed that day, and every one of them was different, and we did them first over here, and then here, and then over, you know what I mean? And everyone was different. We didn't lay hands on everybody, we didn't speak over everybody, we just went over to the person he told us and did whatever he told us to do. And it was different for everyone, just like I was reading the New Testament or something with Jesus. And every one of them got healed and never had arthritis again. And it all started with me messing it up because I didn't include him. I tried to do what I already thought I knew how to do. What I had seen others do. Well, they had success. I'll just do what they did. That's being led by them, not led by the Spirit. That's me being in charge instead of God being in charge. God, I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. And I've got verses to prove it. He's like, let me know if it works. I'm real interested. Is anybody getting this? I'm talking about your life every day. But we have to learn to walk in the fullness of joy. We have to learn to fellowship with him, live there more and more. And we already know what we've know, and we've already experienced what we've experienced, but there's more. It doesn't matter how much, it's always better because we haven't experienced all of him yet. I want you to read 1 John chapter 1, there's 10 verses. I want you to read 1 John chapter 3, only the first 10 verses. And I want you, I don't care if you read it one time or if you read it 20 times, but I want you to read it and say, God, help me to see what you want me to see. So there's 20 verses, two different chapters, 10 verses each. 1 John 1, 1 John 3. And I want you to meditate. I want you, anything that sticks out to you, it may be a word or a few words, a phrase, I want you to write it down. I want you to carry it around with you. So it's like a, what are those things called? A sucker. Jawbreaker, a jawbreaker candy. It's like you're carrying this verse around, sucking on it. Just enjoying it. Because whatever sticks out to you, that's what he's saying to you. But I want you to read those 10 verses in two chapters at least once. If you get to it 10 times, that's probably real good. Okay? But at least once. And God, what do you want me to think about with this? And the whole point is to have closer fellowship with him. Lord Jesus, I commit this under your hands. Every word spoken and heard. Forgive me where I got outside of your light. And we just say thank you. You're so kind, so forgiving, so gentle. Give us all the time to walk through our waywardness without getting mad at us, without giving us the look, waiting to welcome us back in and saying, I'll just keep working with you. You're so kind, Jesus.